Welcome to Richard Ellis Talks with Richard Ellis. Thanks for allowing us to share this time with you. Honestly, it's our favorite time of the day where we get to hang out together and talk about how the truth of God's Word can make a huge difference in your life. And that's what we're going to hear from Richard in a way that only he can do, with words of hope, insight, and humor. You may be stuck in traffic or stuck in life. Either way, today's message is going to help get you on the right track as you learn how much God loves you right where you are. So let's get right into today's talk. Here's Richard Ellis.
The title of today's message is Post-Pardon Depression. Let me read you a definition for depression. It is a state of low mood and aversion to activity that can affect a person's thoughts, behavior, feelings, and physical well-being. Depressed people may feel sad, anxious, empty, hopeless, helpless, worthless, guilty, irritable, or restless. They may lose interest in activities that once were pleasurable, experience loss of appetite or overeating, or problems concentrating, remembering details, or making decisions, and may contemplate or attempt suicide. Insomnia, excessive sleeping, fatigue, loss of energy, or aches, pains, or digestive problems that are resistant to the treatment may be present. You would be amazed at how many people sitting here or walking around every day have one or some of those symptoms. And the longer I do what I do, the more time I spend with people, I've kind of backed off. I think because I was raised a certain way in a certain religious background, I'd jump on people, you know, you shouldn't be drinking, you shouldn't be doing drugs, you shouldn't. You know what? I don't think I agree with that anymore. When I meet people that drink now and I hear their stories, I go, I get that. I'd probably drink too. And then I find out more and more people are smoking weed. I might smoke some weed myself. You say, well, that's crazy, Richard. Why would you endorse or encourage that? Well, what do you got? What's your suggestion? You say, well, they shouldn't be chasing women. They shouldn't be sleeping around. They shouldn't be doing all these things the world does. But why do people do the things they do? You say, well, we're sinners. It's even beyond that. That's the core problem. It's that we are in trouble. We feel bad. We want some hope. We want some help. We want just a little taste of something that would bring us up for a little while. And the problem, and you hear me say this repeatedly, and I tell my girls over and over and trying to have this conversation as they're in school, they go off to college one day, all these things. If someone tells you that drinking and drugs and sex and all these things are not fun, they are lying to you. Because if they weren't fun, no one would be doing it. And the thing is, these things do work. The reason people drink is at first, it actually works. You might throw up for the first, you know, few times, you get, you know, wasted. The reality that it doesn't work for people all the time is that you have the scriptures, you in the Old Testament, the New Testament. If it were not for screwed up Christians, you wouldn't even have half of the New Testament. It's written to people who are a mess. And you say, well, but when you get Jesus, it's all good, right? You go into some churches, God is good all the time. That's not true. Now, God is good all the time. You say, that is true. But you don't believe that all the time. You can chant all you want with some preacher, but it's not true all the time, or you wouldn't be so jacked up half the time. Why do we go back to these things that don't work? Because what we have said we've moved toward isn't working either. And you can go read the list in Galatians. If you walk in the Spirit, you won't fulfill the lust of the flesh. But you know what? A good indication of whether you're walking in the Spirit or not is you won't be fulfilling the lust of the flesh. And I meet a lot of people who are fulfilling the lust of the flesh, including me. So it doesn't work all the time, right? Let's see, you don't have to be nervous. I'm not saying the Bible's not true, that God isn't good all the time. The problem is, we are the problem. And God does understand this, that we are in trouble, that we are but flesh. We are not just sinners saved by grace. We are way more than that, but we still have a sin nature. And we're going to talk about some of this today. Now, let me go just give you an example that kind of ties with my goofy title today. There is such a thing as postpartum depression that comes with women who have kids, and a lot of time they get the baby blues for about 2 weeks. And that's understandable. About somewhere between 1 and 25% of men actually experience some postpartum stuff after babies are born. But usually it's women. But some women get postpartum depression that goes on, can go on for a year. And if as a husband or as just people around people, you've got to think. When you meet someone and you go, something's not right with that person, you may be right. And what we do at church, unfortunately, too many times is we get all psyched up and I think I can. And we get dressed and we get everybody looking good and sounding good and fight like cats and dogs all the way down to church, get out of the car, you know, put your makeup back on from your crying or whatever you've been doing. How are you doing? Great. Because we don't want to get caught at church. You can get caught anywhere else, but don't get caught here being real, being a person. And this ought to be the safe house. The parking lot ought to be the ICU parking where we park it out there and you drag your butts in here, barely hanging on. We go, dude, you look like, I know I feel that way. We're going to make it though, right? Yeah, we're going to make it and regroup and push you back out the door. Not this, oh, it's all good. Now, if it's all good, good for you. But let me tell you, if it really is all good for you, if it is so good for you and you are so on, then you are going to be paying attention like nobody else in the room because you know what it is to not be on. The people who aren't acting are paying attention to the people who are hurting because they know, well, it's not my turn today. I'm okay, but my turn's coming and I'm going to need this family. So I'm going to pay attention and look around because someone's going to need their load carried. And I don't mind helping carry your load because you've been carrying mine. It's not going to get much better. I have now resorted to sitting down with people and I'll look at them and listen to their story. And if you've sat recently with me, you're going to hear this. I listened. I had two conversations I remember this week. Guy sitting there telling me his whole story. And I said, you know what? I'm not sure you're going to make it. Now you might, but you're going to have to make some choices. You're going to have to make some changes. You are responsible for a lot of whether you make it or not. God is available, and He is good all the time, but you've got to take steps to go in a new direction. And even when you take those steps, sometimes your reality, your life, never changes. Go read Hebrews chapter 11. You know, everybody wants to preach about Hebrews 11, the faith and all these amazing things that happen. Well, the backside of Hebrews 11 is people getting sawn in two and fed to lions. You know, it's not pretty. Not all people who trust God end up good in terms of it working out okay. Some people burned at the stake for doing nothing but believing and not backing down. So if you think you're going to die happy, it's not necessarily true. That's in the American Constitution. It ain't scripture. You have the right, you know, to happiness somehow. You have the right to remain silent. Everything you say can and will be used against you, you know. There's nothing in Scripture that guarantees you're going to be happy all the time. But you can have joy in the midst of crazy pressure. That you can have. Now go to 1 Kings chapter 19. Let me give you an example before we get to the real crux of this thing. 1 Kings 19. And I don't have time to go back and read 18, the previous chapters. But there's a story here about Elijah and fire coming down from heaven. And, you know, people say, oh, these are crazy stories. I don't believe this. You know what? You're going to have to stop and just decide whether you believe or you don't believe. If you actually believe that God made the heavens and the earth, then bringing fire down from heaven is a piece of cake. So if you say you believe all that, then the little stuff shouldn't be that big anymore. It's just simple. God can do what He wants to do. So there's been this showdown, hundreds of prophets, they're all killed, and Elijah has won. There's been a drought, and they cut themselves, beat themselves, and their God does nothing. Then Elijah prays. He even tells them to douse the altar, get the wood soaking wet, and still fire comes from heaven and laps up the water in the ditches, and just boom, he says, you know, game over, I win. So Elijah is on this crazy mountaintop, and then look at chapter 19. And Ahab told Jezebel all that Elijah had done, also how he had executed all the prophets with the sword. Then Jezebel sent a messenger to Elijah saying, so let the gods do to me and more also if I do not make your life as the life of one of them by tomorrow about this time, if I don't kill you like you've killed all my prophets. And when he saw that, now this is a guy who's prayed, he prayed a little over 3 years before that it wouldn't rain and it stopped raining. He prayed and it stopped raining. And when he decided it was time to rain, it rained again. He's talking to God. He is connected. He's got a hookup. And yet this woman comes after him, and it says in verse 3, and when he saw that, he arose and ran for his life and went to Beersheba, which belongs to Judah, and left his servant there. Look at verse 4. But he himself went a day's journey into the wilderness and came and sat down under a broom tree, and he prayed that he might die and said, it is enough now, Lord, take my life, for I am no better than my father's. I want to die. How can you go from this crazy mountaintop experience, the fire of God literally coming out of heaven, and now you're asking God to kill you? You feel so bad. We all swing, and it's not just women that have mood swings. How many women would think that men have mood swings? Raise your hand. A lot of hands. We can get just as goofy. You can be on a high, an amazing high. You know, two or three chocolate bars, you're on. And then, boom, you crash. You say, how is that possible? Because you are still a human being. You have to factor this into the equation. And what gets married couples, these people that get married in trouble is it's all this euphoria, all this stuff going on when you're dating. And if you cross the line, then you get all the physical stuff going. And it's just electrifying. And then reality hits about Tuesday. And you look at each other and you go, well, this isn't very exciting. And you're not only depressed, you're depressing. And you go, I didn't sign up for this. I'm out of here. And you find people bailing 6 months in, a year in, just like, I'm out of here. What did you think it was going to be? You probably grew up in a crazy house. Why did you think yours wouldn't be as crazy? Or at least a little crazy? And we don't like reality. It's real stuff. And Jesus came down to a real planet and brought real hope and real answers, but you cannot push some autopilot button and it just be okay. You've got to walk with him. You've got to talk with him. If you screw up, you got to get up. If you sin, you got to confess your sin, and you've got to maintain the relationship, or you're going to be in trouble. You're going to end up in a very bad place. It's going to look bad. It's going to feel bad. It's not going to turn out very good. And I'm talking about Christians now. You know, we kind of put out there to the world, get Jesus and it's all good. That's not true. And the reason we are so huge on discipleship and take people through these steps in a journey together is to talk about some of these things. And as you're going through the process, these feelings start to come up with some, you know, two or three guys in a group or two or three women in a group. And you go, you ever feel this? Absolutely, I feel this. I don't know how to talk about it. I don't know where to go with it. I didn't think it was Christian to have questions or feel bad. It's okay. It's part of life. Now, let me give you another taste of reality. You sit down with someone and they're struggling, something horrible. I have people sitting in this room that I have spent years sitting and listening to. Years. And slowly the soil gets turned and these things get exhumed and taken care of. But it is not this, in Jesus' name. Now, can that happen? Absolutely. But you know what? My experience is that some of this in Jesus' name is every day in Jesus' name, in Jesus' name, in Jesus' name. And that ground is taken back. And slowly but surely, their life changes. And some people, it is dramatic. But the reality is, in some people, it is not overnight. And we have to be a family that allows for that. You have to be patient with people. When things started changing for me, man, I thought, okay, I want to kill myself. It's bad. And I wanted a quick fix. Man, I wanted God to send me somebody and sit down and in 15 minutes, you know, pour something on my head, smack me in the forehead, and bam, I am free, delivered in Jesus' name. Works on television. But some old man came along and sat down with me, and day after day, after week, after month, after year, and it's still going on. I haven't made it yet because I still have struggles that I had. He said, well, you shouldn't tell people that. You're blowing our cover. You're just as jacked up as I am. But are you going to quit because you feel bad? Let me give you some feel bad verses. Now, there's something else here which I'm going to call post-pardon depression. And this is just an observation. And I wish I could graph this, and we tried in a men's meeting one Saturday to do this a little bit. But I've sat with enough people and seen enough people become Christians that a person becomes a Christian, and a lot of times they're like numb almost, like, wow, this is amazing what's happened to me, or it's just exhilarating. It is like falling in love, and their whole life has changed. They've been forgiven, darkness to light, death to life, the power of Satan, the power of God. It's just amazing. And it's like, boom, they launch, and the rocket's flying. And then all of a sudden, the honeymoon spiritually is over, and it starts to crash. And they are getting attacked. And the devil goes, okay, you're so Christian now. Why are you still looking at women? You're so Christian now. Why you got vodka stashed in a water bottle in the closet? You're so Christian now. Why can't you flush your stash of weed? You're so Christian. What's all this? You got your little cross lapel pin and think that's going to change everything. Is anything different? You're just the same old person. You just say you believe, but you're still doing the same old thing. And then you say, no, but I've been forgiven all my sins. And then almost a depression kicks in because you go, well, now what am I going to do? You have to help people see that if you don't want them to go back to their old ways, you've got to demonstrate a new way. And that's where this has to get real, or it gets real depressing. Because you've told me that Jesus saves and Jesus changes me and this is all going to be better. And he's my hope. He's my salvation. He's my rock. He's all these amazing things. And it looks like you guys have all figured it out, but I can't make it work. That was me and a little bitty kid. I grew up around religious people who shook your hand and God bless you, brother. God bless you. How was your week? Praise the Lord. All the time. Praise the Lord. You know what? It's not real. It's not possible. You say, well, maybe it is possible. Yeah, but I saw those people when they weren't at church and it wasn't who they were. And so it started cracking. The foundation just fell apart. I was looking for somebody who was real. I want to see somebody in flesh and blood who's got real struggles and some real peace, some genuine joy, not this manufactured artificial fruit mess that you can assemble on a table and put out there for people to see. So when you are real, when you struggle, when you go through this, when someone says, how are you doing? And you say, you know what? My first answer was going to be really good, but the reality is I'm not doing so good. I'm not trying to bring you down. I'm just telling you, this is what I'm working on. This is what I'm working through. These are some things in my past that have kind of haunted me a little bit, and I don't know what to do. And you go, well, dude, I felt that way, and why don't we talk about that? Let's get some coffee, get some breakfast, and let's work through this thing because I'm in the same place. And then people go, wow, it's just like it's oxygen. It's like, I think I'm going to be okay because I thought I was losing my mind. That everyone else had figured it out but little old me. And I'm not the only one hurting. Everybody's hurting. Everybody's got challenges. And the people who don't have any challenges, just give them time. It's coming because that's life. Let me read you a great verse. Romans chapter 15, verse 13. And you have to understand a little bit of this. When you're reading the Bible, depending on what your state of mind is when you read it, you really need to read the Bible. People say, I'm all good. I don't need to read the Bible. I'm feeling good. Don't stop reading your Bible. It's like people who exercise. I know these people. I've met some. People exercise. If I decide I'm going to start exercising for about 6 weeks, I think I'm going to die. And then if I get in that routine, I think, how did I ever live without this? And then you get this euphoria from working out, you're feeling better. And then when you go, you know, I don't need to work out, I feel great. And then you stop working out, and then what happens? You start feeling bad again because you stop working out. Don't stop spending time with God. Read the scriptures, especially when you're not doing well. One verse like this, Romans 15, 13. Now may the God of hope, you know what? When you're depressed, when you're in a funk, when the world is dark and cloudy, that kind of verse right there is like sunlight blowing in your house because you need some hope. And now it literally describes him as the God of hope. Now may the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing that you may abound in hope by the power of the Holy Spirit, which you're not going to get it any other way. It is not positive thinking. It is believing in the Lord Jesus Christ and everything that comes with it and asking the Holy Spirit to do stuff that you can't make happen without him. Joy is not something. Joy is a person. Peace is a person. Love is a person. It is the person of the Lord Jesus Christ who lives in you and through you and can express this stuff through your life. And when it works, it works. I know how to lose my peace and I know how to get it back. But I never had any to begin with early on. One more, Philippians 4, and then we'll shut her down. Read through Philippians 4, beginning in verse 4. Rejoice in the Lord always. You know what? That is impossible unless he does it. I know I read it, and this is what drove me nuts. Well, I don't want to rejoice in the Lord always. It's not all good. So I don't like these verses. I'm going to get my black highlighter and get rid of that one. You cannot tell me to rejoice in the Lord always because it's not always good. But that's what the book says. That's what you're supposed to be doing. So you say, Lord, I don't like this. And he says, rejoice anyway. Well, I can't do that. So knock yourself out. Rejoice through me then. I choose to let you do that. And then all of a sudden, you're rejoicing. You go, how did that happen? Rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I will say, rejoice. Let your gentleness be known to all men. The Lord is at hand. Be anxious for nothing. Now listen to these words in the context of someone who is in a funk again. Someone who is anxious. Someone who is sad. Someone who is lonely. Someone who is hopeless, helpless. They are just stuck and things are not moving. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, when there is no peace, the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, it's inexplicable, all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus, doing these simple things. Finally, brethren, whatever things are true, whatever things are noble. Let's just start with the first one. Whatever things are true. When the enemy starts putting thoughts in your heads, you're nobody, you haven't changed, there is no future, there is no hope, you are helpless, beyond repair, you may say you're a Christian, but it's not going to change. That is not true. Find some verses where the scripture tells you what is true and meditate on those things. Look what he says here. Whatever things are true, whatever things are noble, whatever things are just, whatever things are pure, whatever things are lovely, whatever things are of good report, if there is any virtue and if there is anything praiseworthy, meditate on these things. Get those things in you. And I'm about to say something that makes people a little nervous and like, what are you talking about? I am not a big proponent of yoga. I think the exercise part of this stuff is great, but if you're going to some place and they are telling you to open yourself up to the universe, you're an idiot if you go back there. You say, but it's good exercise. I understand all that. But they'll tell you to meditate and close your eyes and just, you know, whatever. I'm like, I don't need that. I got so much junk in my hard drive already. I don't need more particles. I don't need the enemy coming into my mind. I need to meditate on things that are true. I need to meditate on things that are noble, on things that are just, pure, lovely, good report, virtue, anything praiseworthy. Stretch to hymns. Now, the last thing, we do a lot of singing around here. We got some great music. Listen to the music. Come for the music. Learn the music. Because you know what? The Holy Spirit will bring that music back to your mind. And there are dark, dark places where if you just kick up a little praise, it is very hard to be depressed and raise your hands in a quiet place and start singing, holy, 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 Lord God Almighty. You can't be depressed and sing that. Sing to him. Lord, I'm in a bad place. I feel bad. I don't want to feel bad anymore. Lord, show me how to feel better. Well, just praise me. Just come up here and praise me a little bit. I got a spot right here by the throne. Just kind of fit yourself right in there.
We'll get back to Richard in a moment to close out today's talk. But first, I want to share something about our program. Our mission is actually very simple, to take the planet. So it's our prayer that these daily talks from Richard aren't something you only hear and enjoy, but that they inspire you to share with others. Together, we can do this. The message of the gospel is something everyone needs to hear, and that's why it's such a priority to us. So join us in this important mission. Call us at 855-6-RICHARD to say you're in. Or you can get on board with us through our website, richardellistalks.com. Well, here's Richard with some closing thoughts for us.
The great thing, the good news about all this is it actually works. I don't think it works the way the religious world tries to make it work. But the real Jesus, the real church, the real body of Christ, which stumps its toe sometimes and gets in pain sometimes. And, you know, you look up and down the rows and, you know, if you see some woman and you know she's just not a big beer drinker, she probably is pregnant, you know. I've made that mistake one time. The only thing worse than asking a woman if she's pregnant is asking a woman if she's pregnant and she's just had a baby. You don't want to do that either. You know, you have to be in labor for me to ask you if you're pregnant, because I'm not doing that again. If you see a pregnant woman, you don't have to make assumptions. You go, wow, she might be going through a tough time in a few weeks. I might actually think about praying for her. Or some of you girls think, you know, I went through that. How are you doing? How are you feeling? Oh, not so good. And you know what? That's real. And let's shoulder each other's loads. Let's do this together.
This has been Richard Ellis Talks with Richard Ellis. There's only one reason we do this program: to take the planet with the good news of Jesus Christ. That's our message and our mission. And you have a vital part of doing that along with us. If you've been encouraged by these talks with Richard, be sure to share with someone about the change they've made in your life. And we'd love to hear your story as to how the talks have made a difference to you. Give us a call. We'd love to talk with you. 855-6-RICHARD. You can also reach us through our website, richardellistalks.com. And while you're there, check out all the fun and informative pages we put together for you, richardellistalks.com. While you're there, be sure to click on the Contribute tab at the top to send your generous gift. If the program is making a difference to you, your gift will make a big difference to us. Until next time, thanks so much for listening to Richard Ellis Talks.